In the shadow of the Dark Tower, a small town holds its breath. For generations, Calibryn Sturgis has endured a terrible cycle. Once every 23 years, mysterious raiders called wolves sweep from the east to steal children. Not all children, only one from each pair of twins, a cruel harvest that returns the taken ones, Runt, mentally broken, destined for painful early deaths. The town has always submitted, until now. Into this borderland community rides Roland Deschain, last gunslinger of Gilead, and his companions, Eddie and Susanna Dean, Jake Chambers, and the Billy Bumbler, Oi. They've survived impossible odds, following the path of the beam toward the tower that stands at the nexus of all realities. But their journey pauses here, where destiny demands they make a stand against the wolves. What makes this tale so compelling isn't just the looming battle, but how King weaves together elements of fantasy, western, and horror into something uniquely powerful. The gunslingers find themselves caught between worlds, the dying midworld of Roland's birth and 1977 New York, where another battle for reality's foundation unfolds. As they prepare to defend the Kala's children, larger forces move in the shadows, threatening not just this town, but the structure of existence itself. Roland's quartet has evolved from reluctant travelers into family. Once cold, Roland now serves as teacher and father figure, his ancient lineage giving him authority while his growing capacity for connection defines his leadership. Eddie Dean's transformation is most dramatic. The former addict displays talents suggesting gunslinger blood instinct, horsemanship, weapon proficiency, and unexpected eloquence. When needed, he speaks with words he never knew he possessed. Susanna Dean, integrated from Odetta Holmes and Detta Walker, combines compassion with fierce determination. Despite her disability, she becomes a formidable fighter, quickly mastering the deadly Oriza plates. Jake Chambers possesses wisdom beyond his years, his bond with Oi providing both comfort and tactical advantages. When Jake uncovers betrayal within the town, he learns that doing what's right often carries a terrible cost. Together, they form a balanced unit, where Roland's experience, Eddie's street smarts, Susanna's determination, and Jake's intuition combine into something greater than its parts. Calibryn Sturgis exists in a world that's moved on, a place where time has become elastic, ancient technology mingles with feudal farming, and the boundary between physical and metaphysical thins. The town blends Spanish-influenced terms with archaic English, its economy based on rice cultivation, where workers sing rhythmic Comala planting songs that double as fertility rituals. Most striking is the prevalence of twins. Nearly all children are born as identical pairs. Once each generation, the wolves raid and take one child from each set of twins. These children return Runt, mentally simple and physically altered. They grow enormously during painful adolescence, then rapidly age and die. The town has resigned to this fate until Tian Jaffords, watching his twin sister labor in the fields, decides to resist. His stance divides the community between those willing to fight and those fearing rebellion. Into this setting comes Father Callahan from Salem's Lot, the priest who failed against vampire Kurt Barlow, now hiding a terrible secret beneath his church. King subverts Western tropes with the Sisters of Oriza, women who wield deadly throwing plates called Rizas. Their practice stems from Lady Oriza's legend, who avenged her father by decapitating his murderer with a plate at a banquet. The sisters represent an alternative power structure within Kalala's patriarchal society. While men hold public authority, women like Margaret Eisenhart, Zalia Jaffords, and Rosalita Munoz maintain their traditions secretly, preserving their female warrior lineage. Susanna's integration into this sisterhood creates an empowering storyline. Despite her physical challenges, she masters the crosshand technique quickly, throwing plates with perfect precision. The Rizas blend domestic and martial elements, symbolizing how women transform traditional roles into sources of strength. Their effectiveness against the technologically advanced wolves suggests ancient wisdom sometimes surpasses modern weaponry. During the final battle, the sisters prove as deadly as the gunslingers, showing that Kalala's salvation requires both male and female strength, a reminder that true protection comes from community. While the wolves represent an external threat, Susanna Dean faces a more intimate horror, an entity growing inside her body. Since Jake's rescue, Susanna has been pregnant with something not fully human, creating a fourth personality, Mia, daughter of Nun, whose sole purpose is protecting the growing chap. When Susanna sleeps, Mia takes control, crawling into swamps to devour raw creatures, mentally transforming these meals into elaborate banquets in an ancient castle. Most disturbing is how Mia manifests physical changes. During New York journeys, Susanna temporarily regains her legs, a miracle, until she realizes these limbs belong to Mia, symbolizing her lost bodily autonomy. The pregnancy creates tension within Roland's quartet, with Roland's silence about Susanna's condition leaving Eddie feeling betrayed. As Mia strengthens, contractions during the wolves' battle signal imminent birth, which will separate Susanna from her companions as Mia takes their shared body to New York for the novel's cliffhanger ending. Todash is a state where Roland's quartet travels between worlds through thinned reality boundaries. Their consciousness journeys to 1977 New York, while their bodies remain in Midworld, revealing parallel threats to the Dark Tower. In New York, they find Calvin Tower, a bookstore owner with a vacant lot containing a single rose, representing the tower itself. This rose is threatened by the Sombra Corporation, a front for the Crimson Ping. Between visits, they notice disturbing inconsistencies. Authors' names change and details shift. These anomalies center around the number 19, which appears with obsessive frequency throughout their journey. The Todash state reveals vagrant dead, spirits trapped between worlds, visible only to those experiencing the phenomenon. It also exposes the connection between Black 13, the dangerous artifact in Father Callahan's church, and the Rose in New York. Both represent aspects of the Dark Tower with contrasting natures, malevolence versus harmony. The novel's philosophical core emerges when Roland's quartet discovers Salem's lot in Calvin Tower's bookstore. Father Callahan is shocked to find the book contains his own story, his battle with vampires and fall from faith, including intimate details only he could know, suggesting his existence has been chronicled by an author from another world. This creates a metafictional loop. Callahan, a character from King's 1975 novel, discovers his original story exists as fiction within this new reality. The boundaries between fiction and reality collapse as stories become real and characters discover they're fictional. If Callahan comes from a world created by King, what does that suggest about Roland and his companions? About the Dark Tower itself? The novel hints King might be more than an author, perhaps a conduit through which the tower's story flows into our world. The wolves embody this blurring with their Doctor Doom appearances and Harry Potter weapons, fictional elements manifesting as real threats.